Hey everyone, this is Kennedy Hawk from Marvel Champions Monthly, a fan podcast. We're a podcast about the game Marvel Champions designed by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kennedy. Today I have with me Crimson, Luster, and Americano. How's it going, everybody?
It's going great.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Swell.
What's going just swell here, too. Today's topic is our first fun community content event. We're going to call this a World Mind episode, and it's going to be the first World Mind episode by the MCM podcast. For those that don't know, the World Mind has acted as a collective of all sort of power, knowledge, and history for the Nova Corps in the Marvel Universe. So it's sort of a collective of a bunch of people's thoughts and consciousness. We wanted to get a snapshot of the community and interviewed several community members and content creators. We'll be doing these periodically 2 to 3 times a year, so be sure to join our Discord server to hear and sign up to participate on the next episode. So, like I said, I have the usual lame crew. We've got Crimson, Luster, Americano, and myself, but I also have some exciting new co-hosts with us. These co-hosts include...
Patropaic.
Marcus N7.
I am Spider-Mana.
My Discord name is Remedy.
Maka.
Carlos M88.
That's why I'm Mighty Jim.
I'm Northern Lights over Arkham.
Is this thing on? What does this button do? I don't know.
I am known on the interwebs as Banana Crapshoot.
Jedi Geek Girl.
You probably know me as Steve.
But I go by Vardayan on the Discord.
They can find me on Discord called Semisonic, S-E-M-I-S-O-N.
All right, so all these awesome, lovely guest co-hosts have pre-recorded interviews with me. I'm going to play them for the crew here, and then we're going to give our answers as well to sort of fill out the World Mind database. First question, what is your favorite thing about the card game Marvel Champions? All right, let's hear from Apotropaic first.
The thing I love the most, I think, is just how streamlined and straightforward it is. Doesn't take a whole lot to set it up. And I appreciate that. It's easy in, easy out.
What do you think, Spartacus?
The diversity in the deck building is what got me. Being able to interchange heroes to all four aspects so that one game is ever the same.
Let's go over to Remedy.
I think I enjoy that there is now a co-op card game in the board game space that's accessible to all ranges of play. So I think it's been great to try and bring gamers together. I've played a few competitive and co-op games in my time, and this is the first one that I really felt has been at that level of accessibility that anyone at a board game store or in any sort of friend group can come join. And that's been really exciting, and they've also changed the way they do the releases, and I've really enjoyed the fact that every month I get a new way to play the game, primarily, because there's a fully fleshed out, unique way to play the game presented in each hero pack.
Spider-Mana?
Probably, like, the dual-sided identity mechanically is one of the more unique things about it from the other that I've played, but really just pretty much everything about it.
And I want to hear from Maka.
I think I like the most that it's just a fun game, but it's also a quick game. I don't have time for Arkham Horror or something more in depth. Just, you know, within an hour, I can get the game set up, deck built, played, have fun, and packed away.
Next, let's hear from Carlos M88.
What hooked me from the start, from when I played it the first time on Gen Con, was the Alter Ego, the switching around. Like, I played a bunch of games, both video games and cardboard games about Marvel or superheroes in general. And this is the first time that I've seen this mechanic done in such an awesome way. I think the only other game, I'm including video games here, that had like something similar was like, I don't know if you remember, there was a Hulk game. The part where you were Bruce Banner was horrible. And it just shows that nobody done this right before. And I love it. It feels so thematic. And the way that the mechanics of the game are built around that, it's my favorite by far.
And Mighty Jim?
I think for me, it's that thing they mentioned when they were talking about it when it was first announced. That, you know, that you feel like a hero. I've been playing Arkham and Lord of the Rings since they came out, and they're great games, but it can just be so brutal and punishing at times. And yeah, just the, you know, the way you get to do your swinging web kick or your hammer throw and just really smash the villains in the face. It's they've got that empowering feel that they said they were shooting for.
Another perspective from Northern Lights over Arkham.
I love the most about Marvel Champions is that it's really fast to set up. It's easy to play a game now and then, and I don't have to spend like half an hour setting it up, and I can get my gaming fix when I don't have time to play Arkham Horror, the card game.
All right, Mr. Crapshoot. What is your favorite thing about Marvel Champions?
I love that it's a co-op game. I can play with my friends and also have the chance to play solo. But I guess more than that is it's actually a good Marvel card game that's easily accessible to everyone.
All right, Jedi Geek Girl. What is your favorite thing about the game Marvel Champions?
Besides the IP, honestly, I love the ability to customize my game in endless amount of combinations and how the gameplay isn't too easy or too hard. It's just right. And like I said, I love the IP. If it wasn't for the IP, I wouldn't love the game as much as I do.
All right, Steve. What do you like most about Marvel Champions, or what does your villainous side hate about the heroes the most?
I think what I like the most about the game is accessibility. You can sit down, set up a game pretty quickly. You can build decks pretty quickly. You can use the pre-constructed decks they come with. Everybody kind of knows a little bit about superheroes, so you don't have a huge lore dump you have to give to a new player. It could just be a fun time at the table. I don't feel bad if I lose. Co-op nature of it gives some camaraderie, but it's not as long of a setup as, say, Lord of the Rings or Arkham Horror. It's just a nice game. Swing a few times, do some fun heroic stuff, and then pack it up and move on to something else. But it does have some real challenges. It does have some deep deck building. So there's a little bit in there for the casual player and a little bit in there for the experienced hardcore player. So I just love that balance.
All right, Semisonic, what is your favorite thing about Marvel Champions?
I think it's mechanically, it is such a wonderful, accessible game. Of course, I've played Arkham Horror LCG and Lord of the Rings LCG, which I absolutely loved. But Marvel's very much a streamlining of those systems. And then obviously got unique mechanics going on. It plays really smooth. Theme comes right out. It really feels like an action scene between you and this villain and the team that you're playing. The theme really, really comes out, especially in the hero cards that we're all here. So it's almost the perfect game. I'm really impressed with it.
We also had one write-in answer from special guest host Truffle from Discord. So Truffle is a big community member and helps run the Marvel Crisis Protocol Discord if you like miniature games. So Truffle's favorite thing about Marvel Champions are those big plays. He likes when Strange gets to draw 9 cards or Widow cancels everything that the villain tries to do. He likes that a leadership deck getting a lead from the front out and Avengers Assemble to hit for giant big splashes of damage, like 30 damage in one attack. All right, team, you heard what they had to say, so what do we think? What do we love most about Marvel Champions?
I have to agree with a few of the listeners that I think it's a really accessible living card game. I think both due to like the gameplay mechanics in it, as well as just a really approachable theme. I mean, that's really... My wife tolerates Lord of the Rings, the movies and stuff, but she really enjoys the comic book and superhero themes. So I think that's been extremely helpful. I think that's a hugely popular thing for just the general public. And I think that's really what they're going for in this game.
Well, I do have to agree with the theme. The theme is really nice. You know, Marvel, comic books, all that stuff is... understandably easy for a majority of pop culture to get into. But I do also like the ease of playability and the pickup and go-ness of it. It's a very, can be very quick game, a nice easy game that's not so stressful. It can be. Now you can make the game stressful, definitely. But for the most part, it's a fun little game that's easy to play and is quick. Unlike, say, like Arkham Horror, that takes a lot of time to set up and a lot of time to play.
Yeah, I think I agree with what a lot of our guest hosts and both of you said. The game is super accessible, really quick and easy to play and set up. And that attracts a lot of people. I have a lot of non-gamer friends that are now becoming gamer friends because of this game. They've been able to pick up a hero deck, bring it to lunch at work, and just smash some cards with us at the table. And then eventually all of them started buying core sets and all sorts of things like that. And I think the IP is just perfect. It's the perfect match of an IP for an LCG.
I actually really like the resource system in the game. The like how you have to calculate, is it worth ditching this card right now in order to fuel this ability right now and get that card back later? Or do I hold on to it? I just feel it's really sweet how your hand size and how you play spells is integrated. It's really neat.
All right, next question. What is your favorite hero slash aspect combination to play? We're going to kind of clump up these answers based on people that said the same hero as you. So we're going to get kicked off with the most popular answer. We're going to hear from Apotropaic, Mecha, Remedy, Mighty Jim, and Carlos.
Right now, it's Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel Justice. I've been playing a lot of Ms. Marvel Justice lately.
Right now, favorite hero is Ms. Marvel. Aspect with her, since I do mostly solo, is probably aggression. Though I'm starting to really warm up to protection.
That's a tough one. I think it would have to probably be Miss Marvel leadership, because it's a really strange deck where you can use strength and numbers to just draw a ridiculous amount of cards. And then just play her attacks. So I think I've been enjoying that, and it's usually because I enjoy playing things that a lot of other people aren't playing. So you can bring it to a game, and people haven't really seen that combination before.
So my favorite hero is definitely Ms. Marvel. I think probably in aggression, although she's also very good in justice. She's just so strong, and the fact that you can go aggression and still be able to thwart for 3 or 4 a turn, or you can go justice and still be able to hit for 4 a turn. Yeah, it's just great fun.
Miss Marvel aggression. I've ranted about how much I like that deck. I think it's super fun, super quick. It has a power ceiling, though. It is definitely not the best deck. I think it's best in 2 players, 1 or 2 players. It falls a little in its impact than 3 and 4 players, but it is a really fun, thinky game to play. And I do think that when Hulk comes out, it's going to go up a tier. Toe-to-toe, and the one that does the same thing for threat, it's going to be amazing. And a lot of people are like, well, Miss Marvel is weak. And I said it on our podcast, and I'm going to say it here. Bad things that you can control when they happen are good.
And do you all have any mulligan tips for when playing a Ms. Marvel deck?
Yeah, for Ms. Marvel, it's pretty easy. You always want her personas, particularly Nakia and I forget the other one, Amir. Those two are the best. So I always, chuck at least 5 cards, 4 or 5 cards, hoping to get.
Well, for Miss Marvel, it's usually just looking for her personas first and foremost. Then, depending on the villain or scenario, then maybe looking for Embiggen or Shrink beyond that to get those down, and her suit to get that resource generation.
Yeah, she needs a lot of pieces. So is there a certain persona that you think is more important than the other two?
Oh, I think I lean towards Amir. Am I pronouncing his name right?
I think you really want to get Amir down as fast as you can. And so finding those personas is always quite an important aspect. You also probably want to be finding an event you can play so that you can flip to hero. from turn one and play an event for a slight value by the discount of getting the card back. But yeah, primarily it's trying to find a mirror. I think that's the main tip I'd have. So get good at drawing well.
That's really funny. You're like the third person that has said Amir. And I remember when Miss Marvel was spoiled, everybody was all about Bruno. But now everybody has changed their tune and they love Amir.
I think, yeah, I mean, Amir is quite handy because you feel like you get the resource back straight away. Deceptively, I think actually Bruno in the long term of the game will probably prove to be a more important piece to some decks that you can build. But I just don't think we have the card pool yet where you can really go full combo. The best I've come up with so far has been, you know, putting the Avengers Assemble underneath as well as the lead from the fronts. And then, you know, in the late game, you can try and have a combo turn.
I think for anyone, I'm always looking for an economy early on and don't mind, you know, a first turn where you don't do Chelsea if you get an Avengers Mansion out or something like that. I think for Ms. Marvel specifically, it's the Persona support. So getting Amir or Nakia down, his brother's basically an Avengers Mansion that also lets you cycle cards from your discard pile back onto the bottom of your deck for one cost. So yeah, if I see either of those two in my opening hand, I'm really happy with that.
I think that depends on what type of scenario you're going against. I play differently if I'm playing almost any other scenario other than Claw or Mutagen. Because in Claw and Mutagen, you have no setup time. And you already have a bunch of encounter cards thrown at you, so you need to be able to react. Especially even more so in Claw, because the cards are already out. So stuff like Chasing Down and stuff that kills enemies, I will keep in hand against Claw because I want to kill the minion that I'm engaged with. I want to thwart a little, try to get rid of one of those two encounters. I'm thinking expert here, by the way. I want to get rid of one of those two side schemes, just get rid of them quick and kind of like have some control over what's happening. In any other scenario where I feel I have some breathing time, I will dump my hand looking for her three personas, yes. I mean, Amir is, how good Amir is indescribable.
Well, that's the Miss Marvel gang up. Let's next hear from Northern Lights over Arkham. Who is your favorite hero aspect to play in Marvel Champions? And, bonus, who is your favorite investigator to play in Arkham?
The last part is a tough one, but from Marvel Champions, my favorite hero is Black Widow, and my favorite aspect is protection. I usually tend to like every hero in protection aspect. And my favorite investigator from Arkham is a tough one, but I think it's Patrice because her playstyle is so different from anything else, because in Arkham, you only usually draw one card at the end of the turn. Patrice has this ability to draw, discard all of his hand, all of her hand, and draw back up to five. So it's basically like playing Marvel Champions, but in Arkham, because you're cycling through your deck as fast as in Marvel Champions.
And how do you prepare a mulligan as Natasha?
Yeah, usually I tend to look for some preparation cards, depending on the aspect. Usually the Black Widow's own preparation cards are really good. And because her Black Widow's gauntlets and the Sinsuit key to playing her well, I tend to try to mulligan for at least one of those at the start of the game so I can get the engine running as fast as possible.
All right, Spider-Mana, what's your favorite hero aspect?
From the beginning, I've really enjoyed Iron Man. Just the way he plays, and kind of strange at the moment. It's hard to tell because I haven't played him physically too much. But it really depends on the match. I like switching it up a lot, trying to keep that fresh and not play the same thing too much. With the cards in Strange's pack, I think protection's probably my favorite aspect overall. But
well, Americano's just going to love that. So how do you mulligan Iron Man protection?
I honestly didn't mulligan a ton for a long time.
I'm seeing a lot more value in it right now. Kind of getting that from them. For Iron Man, if you don't have, regardless of what's in your hand, you kind of want to mulligan just about anything other than the armor or the resource generators with the Stark Tower or Pepper Pots. And same for most heroes. Like, if they have any cards that you need to get out, especially for Iron Man, because he needs to flip to hero eventually. And that becomes a problem if you don't have the armor or the tech cards.
All right, Spartacus, why don't you give us your favorite hero aspect pairing?
That's a tie. Thor Aggression and Iron Man Justice is definitely my two go-to. I don't do solo. I do dual play, so I play those two together a lot.
Well, now you have to answer for two. So how do you mulligan those?
The God of Thunder one is what I'm looking for typically, because it helps overcome the card's hand for Thor. Or just the Asgard card to give you plus one. Or at least for Asgard, so you can search it. If I have one of those three, I'm pretty happy to start. Nice to have Mjolnir in there too, just to use it as an energy right away and then back.
And what happens if you get all three of those?
Yeah, well, if I get all three, then I'm actually okay with that. It'd be the Mjolnir and another card to put down the God of Thunder card. And then pull it, play God of Thunder to put Mjolnir down. So it's a nice little 1-2.
Back to the banana. What is your favorite hero aspect combination to play?
My favorite hero aspect pairing currently is Thor Aggression, because I like Thor's design because he's not a one-stop shop like Captain America and Doctor Strange. I think his design's a little more unique, and I appreciate the deck building challenge with him.
All right, so you're playing Thor Aggression. What kind of cards do you throw away, and what kind of cards do you keep? How do you mulligan?
I am looking for God of Thunder and Asgard normally. I'm throwing everything else back except for Mjolnir. I like to keep Mjolnir in my hand so I can use it to pay for something else and then bring it back to my hand and then play it. So do you mean like me personally or in the game?
Now what about you, Jedi Geek Girl?
I do, but I do not play them together. My favorite heel is Miss Marvel, and I usually like to play her with Aggression, but my favorite aspect is Leadership, and I like to play that with Captain Marvel.
Do you have a mulligan strategy with these characters?
I do not, because when I mulligan, I usually follow Qui-Gon Jinn's wise words, and I feel, I don't think. I use my instincts when mulliganing.
And Semisonic, who is your favorite hero aspect pairing to play as?
Oh, that is so tough, because I'm one of those people that really loves to just build decks and try out different ideas, and and then I convince myself that I'm going to play one and really fine tune it, and then I get about three games in and decide to do something else. But I think Captain America is a long-standing favorite of mine, and it's a toss-up between Leadership and Justice. If you make me pick one, I guess I'd go with Leadership. But he's also pretty awesome with Justice, that Stunlock build, and the new yellow allies that we've got are, one and two cost yellow allies make him pretty well found. And it also feels like a really action-y build. He's punching and stunning, and he's blocking, and it's just a really fun character to play.
How do you mulligan with Cap?
Oh yeah, I think for me, his mulligan is all about what villain you're facing off against and understanding what form you're going to end your turn in, whether you're going to hero form or you're going to end in stay in altar and try to continue building your board state. Usually I really try to push for really effective, powerful swing cards that are very cheap for him on mulligan, so it's hard for me to let go of a superhero or a super soldier serum, but I think my absolute favorite mulligan card for him in the opening round is a shield block, because for zero, you could end in hero form and prevent the entire villain attack, which is a pretty big swing for a zero cost card. I think super soldier serum and shield block are good. I would love to get off the stun. I can't remember the what is it called, his three cost stun card. Thank you, Rogue Strike. I'd love to get off a Rogue Strike, but it's pretty tough to put down the shield opening round and play a Heroic Strike. So I think getting a shield block out and giving yourself two rounds of a lot of safety is pretty useful for when you're starting out.
Okay, Steve, when you're playing as the villain, what hero do you just hate when he shows up? It just irritates you to no end.
You mean which villain is the best?
No, he said which hero we want to play as.
Oh, alright.
Sorry, having a little trouble here tonight. I recently just finished playing a whole bunch of Iron Man Protection. That was a lot of fun, so I'm going to say Iron Man Protection for right now. Obviously, when you're playing Iron Man, you want to have some suit pieces in your hand. But I don't mulligan away too many cards if I end up with one or two pieces of suit, because you have to pay for them. And I don't want to draw too many pieces of the suit and then have to use them as resources. As long as I can get one or two pieces, I will hold on to the rest of the cards no matter what they are, because I'm just going to pitch them for resources. And that's my general strategy for any hero. If I'm playing Ms. Marvel, I want to get a couple for upgrades or personas. I'm going to hold on to whatever else I might have and just toss it for resources. Same with Panther and his suit, Captain America. If I'm playing leadership, I want to have a couple allies, and then I just got to keep the rest, and they're just going to end up in the graveyard, so I might as well hold on to whatever they are and not dig through anything else. Protection-wise, for Tony Stark, add those extra barriers. There's also the electrostatic armor that was recently spoiled by the card game cooperative. That looks like it'll be a great addition. I don't know. There's something about powering up the suit and then just laying waste to stuff that is really satisfying, even if you are beating up on my preferred card type, the villains.
Well, that was some great insight. Guest right in host Truffle again. He says that right now Widow is probably his favorite because she can play with all the aspects really well. Strange is fun as well. Ms. Marvel Aggression and Captain Marvel Leadership are also fun for him, but Widow's the top. For Widow, he usually mulligans if you don't have 2 to 3 preparation cards in hand to begin with. Also, he tends to draw Winter Soldier on turn 1 for some reason, so he always mulligans him because he costs 4, which is too expensive at the beginning of the game, and he'd rather see him later when he has more preparations out. So what do we all think? What is our favorite hero aspect pairing to play, and how do we mulligan that hero? And we all have like an aspect we like, so what is our second favorite aspect, and which hero do we like to play with that aspect?
Everyone probably already knows this, but I really enjoy playing Iron Man Protection. And when I mulligan my opening hand, I'm really digging for Stark Tower, me personally, because as soon as I can get it out, I don't feel bad about using, just like we were just talking about earlier, using the cards, any tech upgrades, as resource cards, as the for the resource, so I can get. So yeah, I'm really digging for Stark Tower, but if I get Pepper Potts out, I'm pretty happy with that. If I get her in my opening hand, and I won't dig as hard for Stark Tower, just because, you know, especially early on when you're playing the tech upgrades, you might have a double resource card or something that ends up at the top of your discard pile. So Pepper Potts will help pay for those tech upgrades early. My second favorite aspect is Aggression. And I know Thor gets a lot of hate, Thor Aggression, and it's right up there up top with my favorite Aggression hero. But I think right now it's Black Panther. Black Panther just wrecks. Black Panther Aggression is so good. I put a Yarnbjorn in the deck, and he just does so much damage, and he can stop everything.
Oh, this is going to be no shock to anybody, but She-Hulk Justice, 100%. And for Mulligan, for me, my playstyle, I aggressively mulligan for my setup cards. So that is Focus Rage, Avengers Mansion, Helicarrier, Quinjet, anything that gives me advantages throughout the game, and I want to get them earlier, because the earlier you get those cards, the more advantage you get from those cards. I'm not worried about damage or threat removal on turn one or two. I am strictly worried about setting my character up so I can play every card in my hand come turn three or four.
And who is your effect? If you had to pick a second aspect that wasn't justice, I know it's hard. What aspect would you pick, and what hero would you pair that with?
Definitely protection. I'm a good fan of protection. It's very control-y. Obviously, the two aspects I like are control-y aspects. And I would choose Black Widow because I do enjoy that version of protection versus the Spider-Man protection. Although Spider-Man protection is fun too. It's just a different type of protection. And honestly, a lot of times I will try to make heroes that aren't protection-based into protection heroes because I find that aspect so intriguing.
I will say I've been playing a little bit of Black Widow protection, and she's pushing it to be my favorite hero aspect combination. She's given Iron Man a run for his money. She's really good. I really enjoy it.
Well, I have a more shocking answer than all of you. My favorite hero to play is Black Panther. I still think that he gives the player this reward at the end. Once they finally get set up, they feel like, I really worked for this, and now I have this awesome setup and I can get rolling. And he's very versatile. And my favorite aspect to play him with is aggression. It feels dirty to not say leadership. That'll be my second favorite aspect. But like Americano said, Black Panther aggression is just insane. You get the Yarnbjorn out. There's so many good cards to go with him, like Mean Swing and coming up Skilled Strike and the Doctor Strange pack. Black Panther aggression can just deal all the damage and spend none of the money. And he has all those vibraniums, so you can get all those setup cards like Golden City, Avengers Mansion, Quinn Carrier out very easily. And you can just have a real streamlined deck after that first playthrough. I think what I discovered is I really like characters that are versatile, and Black Panther can kind of do a little bit of everything because of the way his upgrades work. My second favorite character is going to be Captain Marvel Leadership, and it's just because I think she can go bonkers with card draw. I've had hands using espionage because Spider-Woman is a spy, and I've gotten to hands of like 16 cards in hand at multiplayer. And it's just crazy. Like half your deck is in your hand. You're like, okay, I fill this energy channel up. I punch him for 10. I fill another energy channel up. I punch him for 10. Oh, and then I play Photonic Blast and I still have cards left. What do I do with them? It's just a crazy, crazy, crazy deck. Mulliganing. Oh, I forgot about that part. So when I'm mulliganing with Black Panther, I have a very strange strategy. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, I struggle because I want to hold on to my Wakanda Forever because I know I'm going to get that upgrade from my setup. But when I'm mulliganing, I try to throw away all the Wakanda Forevers in my opening hand. My philosophy is my entire first time through my deck, I'm just maintaining a stable board state and trying to get all my Black Panther upgrades out or all my allies out, whatever I'm trying to get out. So I mulligan really hard, and my ideal opening hand would be three double resources and a combination of two Black Panther upgrades and Shuri, or all three Black Panther upgrades. Because that way you get to fish the fourth one out of your deck, and you can play three of them round one, you can play the fourth one round two, and you're set up and ready to go. A lot of times that doesn't happen, but if you just take this mentality of even an Avengers Mansion or anything that's not a Golden City, a Black Panther upgrade, or a double resource, I'm going to throw away just looking for those, you end up usually getting one to two, or sometimes even three Black Panther upgrades out in that first go around, and it's just crazy good. So I recommend throwing away everything, not even worrying about Wakanda Forever the first time through your deck unless you really need it, and then focusing on having a really thin deck after that first time, and then playing Wakanda Forever multiple times in one turn.
Well, I kind of agree with all of you. Black Panther aggression has been the most successful deck for me, and I've really enjoyed playing that deck for many of the same reasons you said. If I were to mulligan, it would be for what Crimson said, for resources, things that can set you up to have bigger, more explosive turns a little bit later in the game. And my second favorite pairing would be leadership and Doctor Strange, but we don't really have access to him right now, so
we're going to move on to our last question, and we're just going to let it be a scattershot. We're going to play everybody's answers back to back. If you could fight against any Marvel villain.
Magneto.
From the Marvel mythos. So not just one that's already in the game, but any villain you want from Marvel comics or movies or TV shows. Who would you want to fight against with your hero decks?
Oh, with my hero decks, yeah, I assume this was just kind of me personally. I was thinking it would need to be someone like... To me personally, I think it's going to need to be someone like Bob, Agent of Hydra, someone who's, you know, completely useful. In terms of heroes to see in the game, I want X-Men. So Magneto is obviously the kind of headline villain for them. Although, you know, I think he's, you know, he's a man who's potentially been misunderstood. I hope we see Magneto eventually as both a villain and a hero in this game.
It is also, if I could choose any hero to appear in Marvel Champions, the answer will be Magneto too. I think there is a reason that we should get Magneto as a villain, and a couple years after, we should get him as a hero.
I think I'm going to be terrible at this question. Oh, you know what? Okay, yeah. Fin Fang Foom, that big dragon. I want to see what that's going to look like in this game.
Thanos is too easy at this point, eh? I was watching, I had a bit of an X-Men itch yesterday. I was watching a bunch of the movies, and just Apocalypse would be an amazing villain. Him and the Four Horsemen would be a great box set.
I have two different kind of villains that I would like to see in the game. First one is Doctor Doom, because I like villains that are really big schemers. And they have like multiple plans going, and the heroes are trying to catch up because they're like always behind the master planner. But my definitely favorite villain would be Carnage, because I'm really interested in mental health issues, and Carnage is like an archetype of a mental patient that turns into a villain with the symbiote. So it would be definitely nice to see him as a villain, a scenario in the game.
Oh, there's so many good villains to pick from. I think at the moment, I think just because I'm in a Fantastic Four phase, I think I'd want to face Doctor Doom. I think that VS card release got me pretty, you know, excited to hopefully see him be a villain. And I think you could do some really interesting things with his scenario set.
I don't know that I have one specific villain. Right now I'm kind of itching for, like, Ronin seems like a good option, just because I want more variety in, like, the generic minions, I guess. More than the villain, almost. I don't know. Yeah, like Mysterio and Juggernaut both came up as potentially very interesting mechanically.
The correct answer is you want to face off against me.
Well, just be quiet, would you? I'd really like to see in the game some classic golden era comic villains like Paste Pot Pete, the Mad Thinker, Impossible Man, Molecule Man. Like, these guys are ridiculous villains that could just be a lot of fun. They're not in your mainstream media. You're never going to see them in the MCU. Even somebody like MODOK to come back as a full-fledged villain and bring all the power of AIM would be really cool. So somebody like that would be really fun if we ever were to get in the game instead of all these lame mainstream media guys. Everybody else said Magneto, right? Everyone said Magneto. Wrong. It's a wrong answer. First of all, he's a hero, not a villain. Just to ask him, he'll tell you himself that's the case.
A lot of people, I grew up as an X-Men fan back in the 80s and 90s, so I think I'd actually go for Juggernaut. He's always one of my favorite X-Men villains.
Thanos is such an easy answer, so I'm disqualifying him. I'm going to cheat and say two, because my original answer was going to be Doctor Doom, but honestly, I would love to face Loki. I would say Doctor Doom, but he's kind of similar to Ultron, but I think Loki is more unique, and I love him in the MCU, so I'm going to pull a 180, and I'm going to say Loki, because he's more unique, and I think Doctor Doom in the game would probably play too similar to Ultron, and Loki has that, and I love Tom Hiddleston, best villain in the MCU, but so yeah, Loki. Sorry, I got carried away in my love for Loki here.
Okay, so in the game, it's definitely Doctor Doom. He's my favorite Marvel villain. Personally, I think it would have to be Taskmaster. Just because I like his fighting, the way he adapts would be quite a challenge.
If you've seen Truffle's Discord icon, you'll know what villain he's going to suggest. It is going to agree with Carlos back there, Magneto. He wants X-Men just as much as others do, and he thinks Magneto could have cool environmental and anti-aerial mechanical effects, which would be really neat. Americano, what do you think?
I think that Purple Man would be a pretty cool villain. Because I think they could do something really cool where he has lots of minions that are like innocent bystanders. And I think you could actually, it doesn't have to be like a side scheme. It could be actual minions, but you can't attack them because they don't know what they're doing. They're being controlled by him. I think that would be, well, one, he's kind of ridiculous. He's got, you know, he's a purple dude in a suit. And he was first introduced in Daredevil, and he's a big enemy of Daredevil, and Daredevil's my favorite Marvel hero, period. So having him in the game would be awesome.
All right, Crimson, what X-Men hero, I mean villain, do you want in the game? Just kidding, any Marvel villain, sorry.
No, you were right. I mean, I got two of them. I can't split them. I would love for Mr. Sinister and that story arc to come to fruition, and that would be great. But my favorite villain in the X-Men universe is obviously Magneto. I need Magneto in my. I need X-Men. They need X-Men. I need them soon.
Well, Carlos recorded with us, and I think he would agree, so that's good. So which story arc are you talking about with Mr. Sinister? Is it like the Mutant Massacre, Marauders story arc, or which storyline?
Yeah, well, that one, or, I mean, this is kind of a throwback to the 90s, but the cartoon series was amazing back then. I mean, it's not now. I rewatched it. It's not that great. It doesn't hold up very well. But that story arc was still great.
I really like villains in the Marvel mythos that are two-sided. So like you said, Magneto, and a lot of people have said he could be a hero and a villain. And it'd be really cool to get, you know, the villain pack 1 month and then the hero pack the next month. So it's like you've converted him to the good side at the end of the scenario if you were playing some big homebrewed campaign. So there's a lot of villains that fit that bill, like Magneto. Namor started as sort of an enemy, and now he's more of a hero sometimes. Loki, same way. He's a good guy sometimes, bad guy sometimes. But if I had to pick one, I think it would be Namor, because I just have had a lot of reading experience with him, and I think he is a super fun and interesting villain. And he's one of Marvel's first mutants, so it could be a great segue into, like you said, X-Men. We need X-Men. Lester, what villain do you want to fight with your aggressive decks?
Well, once again, the virtue of coming last, right? I love Magneto. He's my favorite of all of the Marvel villains. But Namor, like, there's something about a prince of the ocean and the ocean creatures rising up against the land people that really, I don't know, it resonates with me. So I would like to see either of them. I mean, I lean more towards Magneto just because that's an awesome opportunity to introduce the X-Men, which I think will perfectly flesh out this game as far as heroes you can play.
Well, we had one listener question we wanted to cover at the end of the show. So we had a listener ask, what is the current state of the game? How do you think the game is doing, you know, due to expansion delays and all sorts of things? We're finally at the point where we have one hero pack for each aspect, and we have two villain packs on top of the core set. So with four hero packs and a core set, how do we feel about the state of the game? Do we think any hero aspect combination can take on any villain, or is there something else weird going on? Americano, what do you think?
Obviously, I'm a little disappointed that, at least in the U.S., we're behind a little bit. But with, like you said, one, basically two aspect packs for each, or two packs for each aspect. I'm okay with where we're at. This summer has just started. Where I live, it's been going on for a few, for a little while. The summer's just started. We can get through the summer. Black Widow is going to be released here, at least in America, in the next little bit. Then we got Doctor Strange the next month. Is that right?
Yep. July, and Doctor Strange, August Hulk.
And August Hulk. And then that leads us right into the story box. At least, I mean, I'm in America, right? So speaking from that perspective, I'm okay with where we're at. Do I think every hero, any hero paired with any aspect can win any scenario? No. Maybe. I'm not that good of a player. So maybe my answer is no, but someone else's answer is yes. And obviously, you know, there's so much variance in the scenarios you can play with the modular sets, and you know, with each hero aspect pairing feels so differently that it just caters to different play styles. And so maybe, you know, I'm flexing different muscles when I play a different play style, that you know, I'm just not as capable of a hero because my style of play isn't geared for that. Does that make sense? If I keep playing, maybe.
So Crimson, what do you think? What's the state of the game?
I think the state of the game's pretty good. To hit on the American thing, having this like disconnect from the rest of the world has really sucked. I hope this is a learning experience that we don't see again. Beyond that, the cards themselves, we're seeing a little bit of power creep, but for the most part, things have felt pretty balanced. Beyond a teeny bit of power creep, which can be expected in any game that goes on for, you know, years or years or years, you'll get that power creep. Beyond that, I think the game's pretty good. For almost most aspects and hero combinations, you can find a way to victory. I would say there's a couple that are just really not suited for each other. But beyond that, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I feel like the game is pretty well balanced between the four aspects right now. I don't think any hero aspect pairing could win on heroic mode. I think in standard mode, you could probably in solo take any hero aspect pairing and win in standard, pending bad encounter draw or bad deck draw. And I think on expert, you could probably do really well. I think they've sort of balanced it pretty well where, you know, heroes that might be really good at damage and really good at threat control might be really poor against minion swarms and things like that. There's a couple of heroes that stand out. Captain America, obviously, super strong and everything, jack of all trades, but instead of doing them mediocrely, he does them super well. And Doctor Strange is just, I mean, you could put 25 blank cards in his deck, and I think he would still do great. As far as the delays go, it hasn't really impacted me. I mean, I imported everything. I'm still getting them from my local shop and from Team Covenant, so this will be two hero packs that I have three copies of instead of two, but that doesn't bother me. I try to build a ton of decks, and I keep one set at work and one set at home, so that way I have cards wherever I go. But yeah, having it be delayed kind of stinks, but at the same time, I think that they're on track to have everything released at the same time in August, and hopefully when this campaign box comes out, it'll be a really exciting time for everyone in the Marvel Champions community. Lester, how's it going with you? What do you think the state of the game is?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think it's in a good place, all things considered. I feel like they could rush more decks out for more people to experiment more with, but it is what it is. So as far as the cards I know exist, I think you could potentially, with enough practice, win with any combination and some luck, obviously, but I think we need to see the game expand a bit more before you can guarantee all aspects working in every situation.
Well, that wraps our first World Mind or Xandarian World Mind episode. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you do have any feedback on this sort of episode format, we're planning to do them a couple times a year. So hop on our Discord or leave us a message on Facebook and let us know if you liked this episode or if you'd like to participate in a future episode, so there's a Discord link in the show notes below. You can find us on Facebook as Marvel Champions Monthly, a fan podcast, or go to marvelchampionsmonthly.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter and all sorts of other social medias or wherever podcasts are found. Oh, and if you play the game Marvel Strike Force on mobile, we just started an alliance for that. We have a channel on our Discord. So we need more people to play this really crummy mobile game with us that's themed around Marvel because we love Marvel theme. So join the Discord or just search for us as, I think it's like M Champions Monthly Podcast is our alliance name. But we have lots of spots and we need people to pull us through as we level up. A ton of the other people on here are content creators themselves, so we're going to give them a chance to say where you can find their awesome content. So we'll start with Mighty Jim.
So I'm a host on the Card Game Cooperative. So you can find us on Facebook, or as I said earlier, I'm Mighty Jim. I'm on all of the Champions Discord servers, more than the ones I know about, but I'm fairly easy to find. I also run the Fistful of Meeples blog, which is more of a general thing that you'll find odd bits of champion stuff there, but also about tabletop gaming generally.
Carlos?
You could go head on to deckcelsior.com. That is through my model English. That is deckcelsior.com. I know how to spell. And you can check, you'll see all our podcast episodes are there. There's also links to our videos on YouTube, which I've not updated because it's my job and I'm not doing it. And there's also links to like Apple and Podbean and every place where you can go and subscribe to our podcast every time they come out, every couple of weeks.
Northern Lights over Arkham.
I'm on Instagram, Northern Lights over Arkham, _ between words, and on YouTube I have a channel, Northern Lights over Arkham. So if you just search for Northern Lights over Arkham on YouTube, you'll definitely find my content, and I have a lot of testing videos about Marvel Champions and also Arkham Horror. I'm actually now a new series that's called Shocking Discovery, where I look at Arkham Horror binder fodder cards and try to make them work. So you want to look out for that one. I'm actually right now editing the video for the first episode.
And Remedy.
So I am one of the co-hosts for a podcast called Alter Egos. You can find us on any podcast app, on Podbean primarily. And we also have a website at alteregosmcpodcast.com.
Jedi Geek Girl.
You can find my Marvel Champions content on our website, irebeldestiny.com, where we do articles. And of course, you can find us everywhere at irebeldestiny. And you can find me personally at Jedi Geek Girl. You can also find my podcast, which is not focused on Marvel Champions, but Star Wars and Star Wars Destiny, everywhere by searching out IRBEL, a Star Wars Destiny podcast that will be transitioning into Star Wars generally after Star Wars Destiny World is held, whenever that is held.
And the Honorable Mr. Banana Crapshoot.
You can find us basically everywhere at The Side Scheme, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, our website. You can find links on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thesidescheme, and you'll find
Semisonic.
Not related to board games, although I do have some fun board game surprises planned. I just put up the first episode of Crappy Comics. I am a stand-up comedian here in Seattle, and I use comedy as an open platform to advocate for muscular dystrophy. I'm trying to start my own. It's been a tough and very fun thing to do so far. So I started my own podcast as a way of just raising awareness of that, and it really is a comedy podcast first and foremost, but I'm hoping to use it as a platform for fundraising to advance research for diseases that are not being well supported by the NIH, just for, you know, a lack of government funding available. It is not for kids and is absolutely, you know, I do comedy in clubs here in Seattle. It's for adults. So if people have sensitive ears, I would not advise it. But if you want a good laugh and you'd like to support a good cause, you can listen to Graphic Comics on iTunes, Google Play, and on Spotify right now.
For Dan?
Daniel, Mustafa, and I run Critical Encounters Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the true heroes of this game, the villains. You can find us on Facebook by searching Critical Encounters. You can find us at criticalencounters.libsyn.com. And we're on Discord as Vardayan, Big Foam Loaf, and The Truth. And if you like our show, tell your friends. And if you don't like our show, tell your enemies. Kennedy Hawk, take us out.